With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Another week, another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale from Blue Wire Studios here in the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Oh, it's an MMA show today. Of course, we're going to recap the pay-per-view. UFC 283. There's a new light heavyweight champion. If you guys are watching on the YouTube, you've seen the clips. One of us is dressed normally, ESPN gear. Chilling. The other one is decked out head to toe, San Francisco 49ers gear still.
Hey.
Congrats. I can't even hate. Congrats. Hey. Handle business this weekend.
Hey, sent them cowgirls home.
To be fair, Dak sent them home. Well, y'all ain't have to do much.
Hey, it's just funny because all year, listen to the Cowboys fans. Oh, we got this. You got stellar defense. Micah Parsons, he's incredible. I agree. Yep. Dak Prescott is your problem.
CeeDee Lamb was torching.
Yeah, well, these wide receiver ones give us hell. DK Metcalf, Devontae Adams, CeeDee, they give us problems.
Yep.
But Dak Prescott, he ain't winning the Super Bowl with that guy.
Man, if he wasn't throwing to CeeDee Lamb, he was throwing to y'all.
Yeah. So, you know, one game away. We got a tough one this week.
Dude. You have endless amounts of Niners gear. Yes. It's great. Like every show since the playoff.
I'm wearing my Kittle jersey again because of the catch.
Oh, guy's an animal.
Guy's a game breaker. So I had to wear my Kittle jersey again. But, yeah, I got more. So I have another one on Thursday. And then if we go to the Super Bowl, yeah, I might be in the Super Bowl. I might not be here.
All right. If you guys win this weekend, you're Brian the Brock Purdy jersey, right?
Yes, I am.
Going all in on Purdy.
Yes.
I like it.
All in.
All in. Who cares if he's the quarterback next season?
I don't care.
All in.
He's going to be the quarterback next season. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, will he be the quarterback in 2 weeks? If it's up to you, Dre, before we get into MMA, it's up to you. Do you play a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl?
No. Brock Purdy hasn't lost a game since he started. Like, it's the best story in football right now. Mr. Irrelevant becomes Mr. Irrelevant. But even better than that, because, you know, a lot of people compared him to Tom Brady. Tom Brady was managing games. Brock Purdy is not managing games. He's winning games.
Yeah.
And he's not losing games. So I don't care if Jimmy Garoppolo comes back and he's hulked up. I don't care. I don't want him. We've done this before. We had Jimmy G in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and we saw how that worked out.
Not great.
Hey, we had to deal with it with the Rams. Wasn't great in that game. Jimmy G's more of a game manager. We'll give him to another team that Indianapolis, y'all want him?
Houston? Jets?
Jets? Anybody? We got our quarterback. Brock Purdy's our guy.
Brock Purdy.
Brock.
I meant to send you this SportsCenter post the other day. Last time him and Jalen Hurts faced each other, score was 42-41.
Yes.
They combined for like 11 touchdowns.
Yeah, Purdy had 5, I believe.
Yep. Hurts had 6 at Oklahoma. Yeah. Crazy.
Hey, man.
I love those games.
We have the winner of this game is winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, the winner of this game is losing the Super Bowl.
No. Well.
Bengals probably win.
See, I don't trust. Listen, the Bengals, if the Niners were to play the Bengals, I don't like that matchup for us because we got to deal with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Yeah, it's two wide receiver ones. I don't like
that. But I ain't worried about Joe Mixon.
They got no O-line.
Kansas City, I think we can beat Kansas City.
Only because Mahomes is injured?
No, because.
You ain't being a healthy Mahomes.
We could. Listen, again, we have they don't have a tremendous defense. They're not great against the run.
No.
then I grade on the outs. I mean, I'm not worried about Juju. I'm not worried about, like, I'm worried about Travis Kelce, but Fred Warner's great in coverage. I can deal with that. But if you look at every team that has dusted us in the secondary, they have a great wide receiver. Ja'Marr Chase will give us hell if we got to play the Bengals. But Nick Bosa could get to Joe Burrow.
Yeah. That's the matchup I want to see.
But
Bengals Niners.
I think if Philly beats us, I think they win the Super Bowl. They have the secondary to contain the Bengals wideouts.
Maybe. Philly gets real weird at times.
Yeah, they haven't been really weird this year. With a healthy Jalen Hurts.
I don't know. Washington ran it down their throat, which is why I like the matchup with you guys. It was like 250 straight out. Yeah,
that's Washington. Like, who?
It's not a glowing endorsement.
Is Pacheco going to run in Kansas City? Like,
No. That's why I don't like him getting past y'all. Like, you just run two running backs straight down their throat.
I'm just saying, like, neither Cincinnati nor Kansas City have great running games. Cincinnati's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But Cincinnati's O-line is banged up. Now, granted.
As Buffalo, by the way.
Yeah, but Buffalo don't have our pass rush. We can rush four and we're okay. We can drop the rest of the coverage. Right? We can have Warner Spy just in case Joe Burrow wants to get cute and start running. Because he's not bad when he gets flushed out of the pocket. I think the NFC is winning the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be us or Philly.
Dre might be in Phoenix or Glendale.
Dog, if we go to the Super Bowl, you're going to see me. Like,
it's a quick drive.
It's a quick drive. Like, and tickets are expensive as fuck, but you don't get to see your team in Super Bowl very often.
Nah, not at all. Especially when you just drive there, that's easy.
Yeah, you just drive there.
It's a one-day trip.
See what happens, but I'm happy. My Niners are doing things. We thought we were dead. We lost Trey Lance. It's like, oh, fuck. Here goes Jimmy. We lost Jimmy. He said, oh, we got a third-string quarterback.
8 loose ends.
Not a single game.
See? Well, I'm rooting for you guys.
Shit, I'm rooting
for pretty much because I don't like the Eagles. So
you shouldn't like
the
Eagles.
It's by default.
Eagles beat the piss out of y'all.
3 times.
Whew.
Sorry. They got our number. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You talk about number one receivers. They got 2.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we had none.
And Devontae is just getting better every game.
Yes. It's not great.
No. Y'all got a long way to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, best of luck to you guys this weekend outside of the NFL games. So, my Giants game was on Saturday night. It was over relatively quick.
Yeah.
First quarter.
Yeah, man. I was like, all right, time to watch UFC.
Time to watch UFC.
Like, I was like, God damn.
Caught the entire UFC card.
Like, did y'all even pinch the bitch from Players Club? Did you even pinch the bitch? Nah, y'all didn't pinch him.
Not a damn thing.
Didn't put up
right?
a fight.
No, it was over before I blinked. I drove from my crib to shout out Joe Selly from Top Rank. Went over to his crib. He's a big Eagles fan. I was like, yeah, whatever. We'll watch it together. I left. I was 7 minutes late after kickoff. I get there. It's 14-0.
Yeah, it was bad.
I see Danny Dimes throw a pick. I was like, what the fuck? I came over, had a case of Modelo or something. I was like, I guess we just drink it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no game to watch. We were drinking and watching UFC because, yeah, that game was a wrap. UFC, though, not bad. Pretty good card from Brazil. I enjoyed it. I watched it. It was better in the game.
Well, of course, especially for you.
Yes, yes, way better.
But, we'll dig into this UFC card. But, boy, once upon a time, the light heavyweight division was good.
It's not bad. It's okay when people are evenly matched. Once upon a time, it was dominated.
It was, by the best fighter in the world.
Yes, that doesn't make it good. That makes it unbalanced.
But there was, like, Glover Teixeira. There was viable threats to Jon Jones, right? Even Dominic Reyes at the time coming up, a lot of people saw him as a killer. Obviously,
it was good when they had DC.
Yeah, like
Rumble.
Yeah, like they had a division. Like
Gus.
You look at the light heavyweight division right now. Yeesh.
Hey, Glover was champion.
I mean,
John left it somewhat in disarray.
I'm just saying, you look at the division right now. Glover retired, which we'll talk about in a bit. Glover looked, he aged like Rip Van Winkle. Between rounds 1 and 2.
He was set up poorly, but yeah, we'll
like
talk about that.
Obviously, he's done. Yuri will be back and get that title. I don't think anybody's stopping that. Look, if I'm a middleweight right now, I'm considering fighting at light heavyweight.
Oh, Alex. Alex was in the octagon.
It won't
sizing be sizing up Jamal. But like you look, yeah. Alex is bigger than all of them.
Yeah, he could beat. I mean.
I don't know how he's at middleweight.
We just don't know Alex's wrestling is still an issue. Dealing with somebody like Magomed Ankalaev might be difficult for Alex.
Yeah.
But
we just saw Ankalaev just stand up and strike for 5 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or for at least 4 out of 5.
But if you're Khamzat Chimaev, like, even you might be thinking, maybe I'll go to 205.
Khamzat would be interesting. No one there has wrestling like it.
No, Khamzat beats everybody 205.
I think so.
Like, right now, the current heavyweight division? Yeah.
If he can take a punch at that weight.
All right. No disrespect to Jamahal Hill. He's like the number 7 ranked light heavyweight. And
nobody else wanted the belt, Dre.
No, nobody wanted it. And he won it. And it's kind of an indictment on your division.
Well, the champion, it could have been an interim title. The champion gave it up.
Nah, did the right thing.
Jiří, oddly enough, is training already in the mountains. Like the ninja he is. Randomly just sitting there, riding a bike and doing snow angels or... It's sending cryptic messages. He looks 100% already. Like, his shoulder's, like, healing. He really probably didn't need to vacate the belt.
No, he did.
We've seen people hold it longer and be out. Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah. No, but he knows he's going to get it back.
there's pure confidence.
Jiří's like, you can have this shit and keep it warm for me.
Whatever.
I'll come back and get it.
Yeah.
Other fighters, they worry, like, I may not get another chance. Like, Jiří knows, like, all right. You know, sit in a dark room with me and my thoughts. Yes. I ain't worried about fighting any of you motherfuckers.
At all. So, but if we go up the card, we'll get back to that in a second. Shogun Uwa. Peace, Shogun. Peace.
Hey, I don't know why the UFC likes to do this.
This is how everything is pro wrestling. Yeah. This is how you got to go out.
Nah.
You got to go out on your shield, Dre. On your back.
No, you don't.
You do.
No, you don't. Like,
fed to a young, hungry lion.
Right. And what does that do for anybody?
Theoretically, it puts over the hungry lion, but they didn't put him in there against someone like,
what's his
great name? See, exactly.
Exactly.
That's the only part they messed up.
Like, they're Shogun.
At light heavy, you could have fed him somebody else at light heavy.
I mean, Shogun was probably losing regardless. There was really, like, you would have to get somebody from Dana White's contender series that lost.
I was about to say, they might have had a good shot
to face Shogun, but, you know. The end of the road is rough in MMA. You know?
You're not supposed to be 40-year-old and still around. Man fought in pride.
Dog, he fought when a lot of people were children.
Yes.
He,
a whole generation of fans weren't born.
A whole generation of fighters.
Yeah. He's older than Rosas. I mean, he's been fighting longer than Rosas has been alive.
Yeah, I mean,
Rosas was just on a pay-per-view card.
Yeah, Chase Hooper. Like, you look at those guys, they were babies.
Yep.
When Shogun was soccer kicking people's head in. But yeah, I mean, it was sad to see. I mean, nobody really thought Shogun was going to win. As soon as you saw it, I was like, eh. But then he just got snuffed out. And I was like, all right, this is sad.
Yeah.
And it's not great for Brazil. Like, you want to see your champ. Like, these guys are your champion. Glover, it wasn't like.
Can we talk real quick?
What?
The Brazilian crowd.
Yes.
Usually they're angsty. But usually it's in like a spirit of supporting their own people. This was a shitty showing by the Brazilian crowd.
No, they don't believe in like sportsmanship.
Zero sportsmanship. They booed 90% of the night and then left before the end of the main event.
They were tired. They were fed up.
Like, man, I'm tired of seeing our people get their ass kicked.
And they hadn't, you know, Brazil hasn't had a card in almost 3 years, right? So you come back and Brandon Moreno does what he does against Davis and Figueroa.
They had a couple wins early in the card.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence McKinney got his head blown off.
Yes. The Bonfim brothers.
Yeah, the Bonfim brothers look great. Jessica Andrade beat the hell out of Lauren Murphy, which we'll talk about in a minute, when I don't understand what anybody was thinking to let this Lauren trot out in the third round. I don't know what the hell sense that made. But other than that, Figgy lost and Glover lost and Shogun lost. They weren't going to be happy.
They were just shitty all night, though.
Nah, man. They're not here for sportsmanship.
At all. They threw stuff at Brandon Moreno. He had to sprint to the locker room.
And Brandon Moreno's so nice, he's like smiling and shit. Yeah. Like, when them full cans would have hit you, man.
Yeah, sir. They're trying to kill you.
Yeah,
you think it's funny.
They ain't playing.
No, they're trying to kill you. Run.
Yeah.
Keep running. Yeah, so there's nowhere safe for him. Great career for Shogun.
Phenomenal career.
But this is how the end always plays out. I wasn't shocked.
No, nobody was.
Neither of us picked him to win. Your boy, though, neither of us picked him. Johnny Walker opened up the pay-per-view card.
Yeah.
First round KO. And the entire time I'm watching this fight, I'm yelling at Paul Craig, let go of the damn leg.
I don't know what he was thinking.
Okay, you get hit in the jaw once. Maybe you like freeze and kind of short circuit. Let go of the leg.
Yeah.
Hit the ground. Figure it out from your back.
I literally have no idea. So this fight starts and Paul Craig's trying to close the distance with Johnny Walker. Now, we know Johnny Walker's best bet is striking, and he's explosive early. But at some point, you got to wrap your hands around this guy. And not like the way he tries, like a single leg, and he's like just hanging on. And I was like, this just don't look right. Like, Johnny Walker's long. He's a big light heavyweight. And, you know, I believed in Johnny Walker at one point. Jamal Hill knocked him paralyzed.
Oh, my God.
But I just, and then you like hear the fight with Thiago Santos. It wasn't great. And I was like, well, I think Paul Craig can beat him. No. If guys want to stand and strike with Johnny Walker, he's a problem.
Yep.
Or if they can't close the distance, he's a problem. So, good night, Paul Craig. I mean, this was your best chance. If Paul would have won this fight and Jamal would have won the fight, you could have been like, hey, man, maybe I should
hurry up and get a shot.
Yeah, like before Yuri comes back and I sneak in? Not anymore.
Not at all. Johnny Walker made him pay. I mean, heavy hands. And the return of the worm.
He got to stop doing that shit.
I was worried about his arm.
He keep playing. He keeps playing. I don't know why. Like
you got to learn your lesson. Learn your new dance move. Do the robot.
He's a goof. He's a goof. He's playing with fire. But he won, so who am I to say? Like, every time I see Justin Gaethje do a flip off the cage, I'm like, whew. But he does it, so. Yeah,
Father Time's going to catch you there, too.
Yeah, you're going to land on your head one good time.
Yeah, it's all bad. Gaethje probably should retire that.
He should.
Next up was Jessica Andrade versus Lauren Murphy. I feel like it gets talked about a lot, so I can't say like it doesn't get talked about enough. But outside of the ref having to stop fights, the corners fail fighters a lot more in MMA than they do boxing.
Yeah.
Boxing, they'll throw in the towel. A trainer will have the towel, jump on the apron. That's not out of the ordinary. For some reason in MMA, not only do they not do that, they actively go in there between rounds and talk their fighters into continuing.
Yeah.
Like, we all have eyes. Live to fight another day. You can never get that damage back, whether you get knocked out cold or not. Lauren Murphy took an insane amount of significant strikes to the dome piece. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
And she was, it was like, oh, she's still fighting back. She had nothing on her punches. Who cares? Like, they were doing nothing, nothing at all to Andrade. This fight should have been stopped probably midway through the second. I'll give you in between rounds, 2 and 3. Went the distance for what, a moral victory? It makes no sense.
I understand what corners think. MMA is a weird sport, right? Like, you can win out of nowhere. In boxing, if you're getting punched in the face a lot, you can't kick somebody in the head and change the fight, right? There's nothing you can do. You're getting beat in this one particular stand-up where somebody's punching your head more than you are him. That Hail Mary punch is there. You don't have the power. I get it. MMA, they think, well, you know, got small gloves, maybe catch them flush or get a takedown maybe and scramble, some ground and pound. Like, got a chance. However, I'm not sure who I blame more for this. I don't blame Lauren Murphy. It's her job to fight.
Got to keep going.
And no fighter, especially the way we as media and as fans treat fighters, no fighter wants to quit. Yeah. No matter how much you're about to get CTE, right? No matter how many times your brain is bouncing around your skull, because Jessica Andrade was hitting her with everything. Everything.
Lauren Murphy, super tough.
Yeah, too tough for her own good. But if you're the ref and you're watching this one-way traffic, I know what the ref is thinking. If I stop the fight, fans are going to boo. And the corner's going to yell at. Refs don't want to get yelled at. But if you're the corner, I know they think that Lauren has a chance, but you also have to know your fighter. Well, you know what Lauren Murphy doesn't have? Power. Jessica Andrade is arguably the strongest woman maybe in MMA, between her and Weili Zhang, they're like the two strongest women, right, in Amanda Nunes. But in smaller weights, Andrade is the pit bull. If she's bouncing punches off of your fighter's head, and your fighter's not doing anything, because at some point you got to go, yeah, this shit ain't working. Like, no matter what Lauren is trying, nothing is affecting Jessica Andrade. It's not backing her off. It's not making her think twice. She's just beating you up. Save your fighter. Because that live to fight another day stuff is real. I think they just shaved 2 years off of Lauren Murphy's career if she has 2 years left by allowing her to continue a fight that she had no... Dude, there was 230-25 scores. And this wasn't a ground control game. No. This was striking. Everybody should be condemned. Like, an athletic commission should fine the corner for allowing this woman to damn near get killed. She got smoked, man. But all that, she was ranked higher than Jessica Andrade. She was number 3 ranked. She just came off of beating Misha Tate. I guess you want to give her a chance, but look, after 7 minutes, I had seen enough. They could have stopped that fight at any time.
Yeah, it wasn't her night. How about that? Sometimes it's just not your night.
It was never going to be her night. She was never going to be Jessica Andrade.
Her night probably was keeping it close. And it wasn't her night to keep it close.
Dude.
You got to know when to fold them.
This is one of the... So I was watching it. My wife was watching it. She never watches MMA. She thinks it's stupid. She's like, man, it's changed. Oh my God. You guys got... Like, why do people get beat up? So she's watching this fight. I was like, this is the worst fight for her to watch. And she, in the middle of the fight, she's like, run. And I was like, she can't run. She's like, well, why can't she run? I was like, she's like, they should open the cage door and let her leave. And she was like, why are they letting her fight? This is embarrassing. Like, everybody saw how bad this was.
You don't got to be an expert to see.
But my wife is like, well, why did they allow him to fight? I was like, well, Lauren Murphy's ranked number 3, and Andrade, I think, was ranked number 8 in the flyweight division. It just came back up from strawweight. And she was like, she's ranked higher than her? How'd that happen? I was like, it's just the way it goes. Right? Sometimes you're the higher-ranked fighter, but everybody knows you can get your ass kicked. Everybody knew that Lauren Murphy was going to lose this fight. I don't know too many people out there that was like, yeah, Lauren Murphy's going to win, except her corner. I don't even know if Lauren Murphy believed she was going to win this fight.
She was up against it.
And she got blown out. So shit happens, but they got to be careful with these fighters, man. Like, you can't – the corner, I think, gets the brunt of the blame. And then the referee is just like, at a certain point as a ref, you got to be like, man, fuck this.
Yeah, save her. You just got to wave it off.
Yeah, I got to save her.
Yep. Again, we see that more in boxing. Yeah. Where you get knocked down a couple times, the ref comes, he stands, gets in the way, waves it off. It is what it is. The fighter always objects. In MMA, the ref really doesn't get in there, wave it off, because you usually got to go to the ground and get finished.
Exactly.
It's usually the rule. But in boxing, we see all the time, too many punches, accumulation of combos to you. Nah, we're out of here. So we got to normalize that a little bit more in MMA. Next up, Gilbert Burns, Neil Magny. Same thing. I don't even got to spend the 4 minutes, 15 seconds talking about it. That's how long the fight lasted. Took Neil Magny down. It was over. Like, yeah. Gilbert Burns' jiu-jitsu, filthy. Do not hit the canvas with this man.
Like, we know there's levels to this, right? And I talk about Neil Magny a lot. He's a litmus test. Like, yep. If you want to be a top 10 guy, you got to beat him. But Gilbert Burns is already a top 10 guy. And I don't know what they're thinking with Neil. This matchup was weird to me because I saw it on paper and I was like, this is bad. Gilbert Burns is really good. Mm-hmm. He hurt Kamaru Usman, right? Eventually lost, but I think he gave Hamza Kamayev hell. And Neil Magny was just on the MMA Hour, and they said the video of Hamza just dogging him in the gym. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen when Gilbert Burns gets standing on? Gilbert didn't waste any time. I don't know who beats Gilbert Burns.
He didn't move up in the rankings at all.
He can't. Where's he going to go? Can't go higher than Hamzat. Can't go higher than Colby.
Well, he called out Colby. That's how you get higher.
Look, Colby needs to fight somebody. He ain't getting an immediate title shot. He's not fighting the winner of Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman.
No.
So you either fight Gilbert Burns or Hamzat Kamayev.
I'm taking Burns every day.
I think it's a really good fight with him and Burns, though. I don't think it's a good fight with him and Hamzat.
Maybe he's waiting to see if he can run it back with Masvidal.
Nah, nobody wants that.
I mean, the man got punched in the teeth outside in Miami, outside of like a bar. Dog,
you are the number one contender at welterweight. And if you're not getting a title shot, you need to fight somebody. You can't just sit there and wait, right?
Could.
Nah, you can't. Like,
Dana might let him.
Dana shouldn't let him. You got two guys And we all know Hamzah is like the uncrowned king of this division. Everybody knows. He's the uncrowned king of like three divisions.
Yes, he is.
We all know this. Kobe can't, and this is what I'm talking about, like guys that'll give up the belt versus guys that like hug the shit out of it. Kobe's hugging this number one contender spot. Like he's hugging it. Because he don't want to fight Gilbert Burns. He damn sure don't want to fight Hamzah. But he has to fight one of them. He has to. What are we going to do? Fight Neil Magny?
He would. If you let him.
You know who he'll fight?
He would.
Who, if he gets the opportunity? Bilal Muhammad.
He'll fight Bilal. He'll fight Wonder Boy.
These, like, Bilal is, he was ranked higher than Gilbert for reasons I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bilal had, you know, a nice little winning streak and whatever. But he'll fight Bilal because Bilal's like a beatable fighter, I think, to Colby.
But which isn't an easy out.
It's not. But you got to fight the number two and number three guy. Who fucking play?
Bilal might have to fight Hamzah.
One of them is going to have to fight. Look.
Somebody got to fight somebody.
There has to be an eliminator. Colby needs to fight Gilbert or Bilal. No, well, listen. Colby should fight Hamzah. Bilal should fight Gilbert. And then, depending on how this Leon Edwards-Kamaru fight, if there has to be another rematch, if there's a third fight, or if Leon Edwards wins again, then you can figure it out.
It'd be a fourth fight.
Damn, you're right. Fourth fight. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Kamaru's going to win unless he's just ran off the road these days. But you, this is what you have to do. Everybody else can wait. They are the two title, the title fight, and then you got four fighters. They need to knock each other off. Fuck Kobe Covington.
It's not rocket science. But yeah, he got to take a hard fight. Outside of Usman, he hasn't had a hard fight in a long time.
That was a bullshit fight. The Masvidal fight?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, he was perfectly suited to beat Jorge.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't shit. And Jorge touched him a couple times, but it still wasn't. It was a wrestle fest.
Trash.
Nah, do that to Hamzah. Let's see.
Yeah, good luck.
Because, I mean, Kobe's wrestling is very good. His cardio is amazing.
Striking, not so much.
He felt more comfortable in the striking.
It's serviceable.
See what Hamzah is.
Yeah, Hamzah's going to destroy him.
I think so. But Kobe got to step up to the plate. In the co-main, we had a four fight, whatever it's called. A quadrology? I don't know. There's so many terms being thrown around. Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. I don't need a fifth.
Not right now.
At all. Davison Figueiredo, you look at him when he stepped on the scales, scary for that weight cut. Scary. Yeah. If there is a fifth, it's at 135.
Oh, yeah. Well,
down the line.
Obviously, you know, Moreno gets the win. He punches Davison in the eye. Davison's eye swells up. I think he just checked out.
He punches him in the eye, but then he kind of claws him.
Yeah, look, I don't like to say fighters quit, but at that point, I feel like Davison was looking for a way out. Like, he got hit with that shot, and it became very clear he didn't really want to be there anymore. There was no protest in the corner, right? He was done.
I mean, the man had one eye. He ain't Bisping.
Look, some fighters will fight with one eye. Some fighters will protest. They'll try. You can see his body language. Like, that punch took everything out of him. Because first of all, that's a difficult weight cut.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's not doing what he wants to do against Brandon Moreno. It's not like the last fight, where it was very close. It felt like Moreno was going to start running away with his fight. And as soon as he got hit with that shot, his eye checked out and then his brain followed right with it. Like, they were both out the door. He was, as soon as he got hit, the first thing he thought is, I'm moving up in weight. In the middle of the fight, he was like, it's time to go. Time to go. Brandon, you can have this title. I'm done. I'm done here. He looked very similar, except he lost, to what Conor looked at 45. Getting on, like, Conor was like, how the fuck are you making 145 pounds?
Yep.
Figgy, he just looked too big. And I thought he was able to manage his weight, but as you get older, obviously it gets more difficult and it trashes your cardio.
He did. He made weight easier than a lot of times, probably ever before. I think you're right, though. He just got into the octagon and was like, oh, I can't perform like I usually perform. Like, I know what I want to do. I fought this man. I know what I can do to him. My body's not doing it. Oh, shit.
I'm in trouble.
And then, it's just like, now what? What's the plan B when I'm not strong enough to ragdoll him like I did the first time? Or, okay, cool, he hit me. Why aren't I taking the punches like I usually take them?
Right.
Oh, well, the weight cut drained me and I can't, you know, my body's reacting differently. Because really, he just got hit with a routine hook to the face.
Yeah.
And his eye was just like, whoop, like, He's like, what's going on? You, my man, you have no nutrition or cushion in your body to take that blow. And now you're like, oh, these all hurt a little more. Oh, okay, now I'm throwing, but I'm not hurting him. Oh, I have no way to win the next 2.5 rounds with one eye. It was hard enough when I was good.
Yeah.
With one eye, it's like, I understand it. I don't think he quit. But at this point, you're just like, fam, I'm not me. You're going to have to see me at 35.
He ain't quit. He checked out.
Yeah. Like
he checked out. He got an early checkout from the hotel room that night. He was like, time to go.
That's it.
I got
one,
hit.
One eye man. You ain't going to beat me into retirement.
Because making waste, like you said, making waste is not the issue. The engine's too big for the car now. Right? Like, the engine's too big for that small frame, and now he gets out there, and the body just can't keep up. And you got Brandon Moreno, who is nothing but cardio and speed and athleticism, and just kind of trying to mow you down, and you can't get out of the way of this shit anymore.
5 years younger. He'll run into that later.
He will.
But it ain't today.
Nope. This was Brandon Moreno's night, the champ. It'll be interesting to see how this division shakes out. Figgy says he's moving up. Don't know how well he performs at a higher weight.
I don't think he has anything to prove, but I think he performs good enough to be in the top five and like hang around there.
I mean,
that division's a bunch of killers, but
yeah, bantamweight is tough. Because you're not going to fight Petr Yan.
No one wants to fight Yan.
You're not going to fight Sean O'Malley.
He has a fight booked.
Yeah, like Henry Cejudo. Like, you've got a way to go to get up in that division, especially moving up in weight. In your mind, you're like, my body's better suited here. But we've seen a lot of fighters, they can't make one weight. They move up to the weight they feel like they're supposed to be at. But then they realize, oh, these motherfuckers are like 15 pounds bigger than that.
Yep.
Like, when you look at Aljamain Sterling, like, you've seen him. We've seen him in person.
Motherfuckers like 160 norm.
Like, how do you make 35? This is crazy.
He's tall as hell, too.
Figgy, those advantages, it's same thing with Conor McGregor. Those advantages that you have in a smaller weight, some things will carry because, like, with Conor was pinpoint striking, right? Like, that stuff will carry. But the advantages that you add is size and length, they go away. Mm-hmm. And then what do you have?
Ability to take a punch did not carry with Conor McGregor.
No.
He's like, oh, these motherfuckers hit harder.
Yeah, it changed the game.
I feel this.
It changed the game. Like, he thought, just like I'm sure Figgy will think, when Conor moved up to fight Nate Diaz, he's like, ah, I'll get him out of here. Everything was different.
They take punches. Their punches hurt more.
They're big. They're just bigger people.
Bigger people. Weight classes for a reason.
Yeah, but Figgy put on a great... I mean, Moreno put on a great performance. He is the champion again. I'm interested to see...
Champion Lego builder as well.
Yes. He is the most happy guy that we've ever seen. Doesn't look like a fighter. He doesn't talk like a fighter, but he is a fighter. He's a damn good one. It's an incredible story, though. You look at a guy who was cut, came back to champ. We're trying to get rid of this division.
The whole division. One of the most exciting divisions in UFC right now. So they always deliver.
We'll see, because Formiga's hanging around. Yeah. There's options for Brandon Moreno. I mean, shit. In Kai Kara France just got dusted by Moreno, right?
Yes, took a body kick.
Yeah. But if you look at the division, Moreno's been so tied up with Figgy for the last few years. There are other people moving up in that division that could give him problems. We'll see. There's fresh matchups for him.
Well, Pantoja was there.
Yep.
Caught him in the back, I believe, in a locker room.
Yeah, Pantoja was immediately like, you're next, my friend.
That's it. And he's like, yo, I beat him already.
Yeah.
Twice. He may have beat him twice.
So, look, man.
Definitely beat him once. And it's just like, yo, I'm on a run. Like, let's get it. And that's, like you mentioned earlier, when you're on a decent little streak and you have a win over the champion, you can pretty much claim to jump people in front of you.
Yeah, why not?
And that's where I feel like Pantoja is like, yo, all right, I beat you already, fam. Let's go again.
Yeah, I said for me, I meant Pantoja. But yes, and he was in the crowd. Like, as soon as he in the crowd, he was like, me. Like, shit, I
was,
want to
like,
fight
nobody
now.
Could see him.
Yeah.
Like, yo, do you see me right here? Me? I'm going to give
this.
Me this damn shot. I mean, 3-fight winning streak, Alex Perez, Brandon Royval. Give the man a title fight.
Yeah.
I mean, again, just keep the division moving, because we've seen in this division more than any other division, you never know. It's all about that night. and who's better that night. That title bounces around since Demetrius Johnson left as much as the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
You honestly never know who's going to show up and how it's going to play out. And then main event, Glover Teixeira versus Jamahal Hill. We kind of mentioned it to start the show.
I told you.
Coming full circle.
Glover had two rounds.
Fam.
And it meant if you can't do what you want to do, that's why I said Jamahal Hill's got it. Like, I didn't care about the five rounds. Glover's done this. He had two rounds to get it done. Because if he didn't get it done, it meant that Jamahal Hill was not getting submitted,
yep.
not getting taken down, and he was hanging in there.
Which he did take Jamahal Hill down late.
He did, but he couldn't
do anything.
Glover had no top control. And I know I've seen a lot of people talk about, well, Jamahal Hill's better off his back than we thought. And that may be true to a degree. It may be true. But I watched Glover Teixeira age 13 years between the first and second rounds. He was slow. The power wasn't there. The takedowns weren't even there. Like, he couldn't even get him. And I'm not saying, like, Jamahal Hill hasn't worked on all these things. I'm just saying I watched a Glover Teixeira that was clearly diminished heading into this fight. After round two, I was like, this fight's over.
But you're also watching a Glover Teixeira who had a full camp for December, found out, oh, okay, I lost my opponent for December. Oh, I'm not fighting at all. Took that away from him. And then when there's no champion crowned, oh, by the way, do you want to fight for this belt in January? So now you have a full camp, then you're off and done. And then they're like, yo, you got 4 weeks. That's not even another full camp. So you're already cutting your body down. We talk fighters all the time talking about during the weight cut, it's not just cutting it. It's making sure your body peaks at the right time. So you have that weight cut trying to peak at the right time. They cancel your fight. And you say, oh, 4 weeks to cut that weight down again. And then you're trying to peak. Doesn't work like that.
Glover was
especially
just,
not in your 40s.
Glover was just old. I don't think
you got it.
No, I don't think.
You could still be good when you're old, but everything has to be perfect.
No, Glover was just old.
You can't be late notice and old.
No, he was just old. Like, that's all there is to it.
No, because we just saw him. And again, this was an amazing fight. Second round was amazing.
He fought Jiří last year.
Yes.
When you reach your 40s, it, like, 6 months is like 6 years. Like, Father Time's undefeated. I don't care what Glover did. That man was old. Like, that was it. He knew he was old. That's why he retired. He went through that camp. Was like, I don't think I really need to do this shit anymore. Like,
went through two camps.
Yeah. He looked at Jan as somebody he could beat. Right? Like, he was like, I could beat him. I've already beat him. Right? You fought Jamahal Hill because you look at, oh, he's a younger guy. In Glover's mind, I'm sure the whole camp was like, just put him on his back, submit him. That's it. Yeah, you could exchange with him. You might have the more powerful strikes, but why do you want to do that? Put him on his back, submit him. Glover put him on his back. And Jamahal Hill didn't skillfully sweep him. He just powered out of the shit.
That's it. It just jumped up.
Like, Glover Teixeira is known for great top control. And there was a moment there where he was switching over to an arm triangle. And I said, this is over. And I told my wife, I was like, if he doesn't submit him here, it's done. His arms are gassed. This is easy work for Glover at like 2 years ago. He gets Jamahal Hill in that position. He submits him 10 times out of 10. He was old. It had nothing to do with the camp. Like, he mounted him. He transitioned to an arm triangle. And he couldn't finish the job because he was old. It was like, it's like when you get out of bed and you stand up and your back cracks. You're like, where the fuck did that come from? That was like Glover in the octagon. He was like, where's my top control? Where did it go? Got old. Nothing he could do on this night. He had two rounds to get the job done. Couldn't do it.
I think it might be different if he prepared for Jamahal.
Nope.
Full camp.
I don't think it would have mattered. I think.
So you think Jiří dog walks him if they would have both made it to December? They really should have gave him Jan. In December. That makes no fucking sense.
Who? Yeah.
Glover. He should have stayed on the card. It should have been Glover versus Jan.
Well, yeah.
Jan fighting Ankalaev. That was just stupid.
Well, Glover had already beat Jan. So they wanted to give Ankalaev, who was on a nice run, which made sense. Like,
but Glover was already, theoretically, the number one contender. He's in the title
match.
I know,
but he didn't want to fight.
He didn't get hurt.
I know.
He would have fought Jan. He didn't want to fight Ankalaev.
And I get, like I said, when people said he didn't do it, I get why. Because he's old. He ain't got time to be preparing for these young kids. He's going for what he knows. They offered him Jamal Hill. He sat down. I'm sure they paid him a little bit more. And I'm sure he looked at that fight and was like, I could beat him. Paul Craig submitted him.
Yep.
Like, I can beat this
guy.
Or
his whole arm out.
Yeah, like, I can beat this guy. I don't care. Actually, the longer camp probably would have did him worse. Because conditioning was not good in this fight. He was dead tired. Like, if you look at the fight with Jiří, they were both dead.
Yeah, they were both dead tired.
And Glover got submitted by Jiří. It's not like he didn't get knocked out. He got submitted by Jiří Prochazka. That, like, we knew right there that Glover might be at the end of his rope. Now, you go into the rematch, you say, well, maybe he's got a chance. He kind of knows what he has to do. But again, it would have been the same thing. You have two rounds to get the job done. Couldn't do it. He's old. 6-week camp, 12-week camp, wouldn't matter. His body is done with 25-minute fights. He's got 10 minutes to win fights. It's over. Watch what happens to Fedor against Ryan Bader. I've sat there.
I'm praying Fedor lands a crazy knockout.
Fedor is old.
I don't even care.
He got annihilated by Ryan Bader the last time he fought.
I'm hoping for a miracle.
How is this going to change?
I don't know. Again, we opened up our show. This is not how people leave MMA. You do not leave it on top. Usually.
Aging MMA fighters are like running backs in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott will never be the old, not even close.
No, you can't
it's
catch it.
It's over.
Yeah.
Once it goes. It's gone. Younger MMA fighters, you can get away with it, right? Robbie Lawler, for instance. Like, you figure it out. There ain't no figuring out when your body says, fuck you, I'm done. Glover Teixeira's body said, you've been doing this shit for a long time. I know you think you can win, but I'm here to tell you, sir, I ain't in this for you. I want to go home. And his body was, he tried to fight. That's why he retired. Like, he didn't retire thinking, one more shot. Like, when Daniel Cormier lost to Stipe and he retired, Daniel Cormier was like 1 foot out the door because he had options, right? If all he had was fighting, Cormier would probably still be fighting because he could still beat people, even though I know he doesn't want to make the weight cut. Because clearly, as soon as Cormier was on camera this week, I was like, Jesus Christ, how much does he weigh? He's a happy man.
Happy.
But Glover has nothing else but fighting. But now he's like, well, I got Alex Pereira, so.
That's it.
I'm just going to hang out with him.
He has his own gym.
Yeah,
he's
I'm good.
Still around fighting.
I'm good.
Enough to be like, oh, I'm out.
I'm good. Now, the new question is, this is very interesting. How good is Jamal Hill? We're about to find out. Because now,
his boxing is on point. I'm not sure how well-rounded he is.
Still. He's got nothing but fresh matchups. Yeah. Nothing but.
Yo, he jumped the line.
That's what I'm saying. So you got Jiří, you got Jan, you got Magomed. Like, you got Johnny Walker. If Johnny Walker moves up, even though you already beat him. There are plenty of people for him to fight. But we're going to find out how good he is because let's assume Jiří Prochazka is not ready, right, till the end of the year. And you're Jamal Hill. You just won the title. It's January. So you probably want to fight close this summer. Do you fight Jan or do you fight Magomed?
I'd fight Jan before I fight Magomed.
Both of those guys could beat him.
Yes. But everyone could beat. Like, I don't think he's long for the belt.
No.
But,
no, he's not.
But you're going to get paid at least one fight like a champion.
Yeah.
And you can always say you are a UFC champion. No one can ever take that.
Or the crazy thing is, he's a champion in such a young tenure in the UFC, right? Well, Alex Pereira, like, we know what he is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe he can get better at wrestling, but he's old.
Yeah.
Right? We know what he is. We don't know what Jamal Hill is. Like, we know he's got power. We know he's long. We know he's strong. We showed us a little something in the grappling game and getting off his back, but he can still develop as a champion.
Yeah.
We got a very interesting year to watch how this man develops. And hopefully, because, you know, UFC fighters are so goddamn underpaid, the money doesn't get to him. And he's focused on keeping this belt.
13 fights.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it. He was first person from the contender series to win a belt.
Who would pick that?
Beat O'Malley to it.
It's crazy. 205 is a...
It's an interesting place.
Well, here's the question.
He could lose the belt, come back and win it 4 years from now, and still only be 35.
Is 205 the weakest division in the UFC?
Are we counting 145 women as a division?
No, because
that's not a division.
There's nobody there.
Okay.
That house is empty.
Women's 135 is the weakest. Julian Pena was just the champion, and no one touches Amanda in that division. She's damn near cycled through three times and proved that Pena fight was kind of a fluke. That's the weakest division in the UFC. They've brought in, there's no new blood at 135 for the women. There's not even a Jamal Hill. There's no contender series people. There's the same fighters damn near from Invicta. Just recycling at 35. Women's 35 is the worst division in the UFC. And then, yeah, then light heavy is probably second, I would say. Everywhere else is almost a murderer's row. Heavyweight's gotten so much better. They just added John. Women's 125 used to be tough. Kind of soft, but so many people are moving up from 115 now. I kind of like 125 for the women's division. And Shevchenko showed like a little chink in the armor enough where you'd be like, okay, someone can challenge her there. Women's 115 is always incredible. Women's 135, worst division in the sport.
Interesting. So usually you would say your division is only as good as your champion.
Usually.
And Jamal Hill is the weakest champion in the UFC right now.
Sure.
Because we don't know much about him.
Yeah. But Jiří giving up the belt.
Correct.
Helps that.
Amanda Nunes is arguably the best women's fighter on the planet.
Yes.
And she reigns supreme over that division. To your point, because I had to look at the rest of that division. Yeah, Juliana Pena. What hurts this division, makes me say it's the worst division women's bantamweight, is because Kellen Vieira just lost to Raquel Pennington pretty handily. Yep. Raquel Pennington got dogged walked by Amanda Nunes.
Yes, she did.
Holly Holm is still ranked number 3. Irene Aldana is still ranked number 5. Yana Santos is coming up. Pani Kinzad, Kianzad, Macy Kyerson, Carol Rosa, Misha Tate still ranked number 10.
Come on.
This division's bad.
It's not a good division, right? Like, there's no influx of like, yo, that's the next person. Or like you have confidence that someone, like Jamal Hill, you look at him from the outside. Johnny Walker, you look at him from the outside. Be like, those guys could be champions. Like, they have all the tools. Like, if they go on a run, I could see it. I could see one of them being a champion. Like, legit. Not just Jamal Hill getting thrown in there for a vacant title. There's no one at 135. If Amanda retired tomorrow and walked away, and was like, oh, you know what? I got my kids. I got my money. I'm out. Peace. The division's dead.
Well, yeah. The
next best 135er is Shevchenko.
Well, yeah. She can move back up and immediately get the title. Like, you look at the men's light heavyweight division. We mentioned Jiří Prochazka, Magomed Ankalaev, Jan Blachowicz, Alexander Rakic, Glover Teixeira, who just retired, Anthony Smith, Nikita Krylov, Johnny Walker, Volkan Ozdemir, who is pretty much done, Ryan Spann, Paul Craig, Dominic Reyes, he's still ranked. Sure. Clear Roundtree, Jimmy Crute, and Dustin Jacoby. It's a better division.
Yes.
Women's bantamweight, it's Amanda.
You just don't got the champion to hang the crown on.
It is legitimately Amanda in the field.
Yes. And the field is it's quite poor.
You just have to just get beat up.
That's it. At this point, they just really want to fight each other. They're all content fighting each other and no one fighting Amanda.
And I know, like, Valentina Shevchenko is the other woman that we think is the best female fighter in the world. At least her division's got Talia Santos, who gave her hell.
Yep.
You got Jessica Andrade, who's moving back and forth. Aaron Blanchfield is a fucking problem.
Oh. Incredible and prospect.
Manon Farrow. So at least Shevchenko has, like, some new blood. Amanda Nunes is going through the car wash again. She's like, I got to beat these women up again?
If Shevchenko moved up to 135, say Nunes bounce. Shevchenko moves up. Blanchfield is young. She could take the belt. Like, you don't know who else is going to win. There's, like, a lot of good options at 25 now. And, yeah, I can't say this. Can't say the same for 35. Suarez getting hurt. And it looks like never coming back.
No, she's coming back.
When?
I thought she just booked a fight.
What?
Yeah, Tatiana Suarez is back.
Adds a ton to that division.
Like, Tatiana Suarez was like the uncrowned.
She was next.
Yes. Like, they looked at her of like, if Shevchenko decided to stay at bantamweight, Tatiana Suarez was the one.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to find that fight now. But yeah, like, adds so much to that division. So much.
She just needed, like, it was health. yeah, health related.
That's the key. And but she's overcome so much already in her career, right? Like she overcame cancer.
Yeah, she's fighting Montana De La Rosa on February 25th.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's a problem for anybody. Yeah, that division stack.
Like the
division. She can move up to 35. Suarez.
She's big.
And she started at 15. Say yeah. Now she's been gone for a while. She don't want to make the cut. If she goes up to 135, immediately she's the second best fighter in that division.
Yes.
Immediately.
So, yes, as much as Jamahal Hill is a guy that you're like, hey, he's not, you know, he got the title, but light heavyweight, at least it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Women's bantamweight is
you're,
just.
You're talking about people looking at light heavyweight from the middleweight division. It's like, like yeah. Maybe. That's everyone at 125 for the women.
Yeah. Do I want to put on an extra 10 pounds?
Yeah. It's like, you know what?
I'll eat another donut. Let's go.
I don't got to cut weight. Come on. I'll fight at my natural weight. Nobody up there is getting busy. So that's definitely the division for the taking. We'll see how it all plays out. It's an off weekend for the UFC. Not many of these. We'll enjoy it. We have SummerSlam this weekend. All attention
not
on
SummerSlam. We have Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
Sir.
I don't know where the hell I am. What is this, August? We have Royal Rumble. I've been like binging the Royal Rumbles too. we have Royal Rumble on Saturday. All of our attention will go there. That's going to be a fun one. So can't wait to see how that plays out. Thankfully, boxing's in the morning. We'll have our boxing show later on in the week before our pro wrestling show. And Better BF is kind of headlining this weekend. That's early out of the way. All attention to Royal Rumble Saturday night. I almost flew out to San Antonio.
Did you?
I almost, like yesterday, almost booked a flight, but I didn't have tickets. Yeah. And tickets are ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Hmm. For like anything that's nearly a good seat,
yeah.
600 and up.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't do 300 level.
No, that,
I'm past that. Like, I'm past that. I'm
no, bougie ass. They got a taste. This man said,
I can't do it. I can't. I'd rather watch from home than do 300 level.
Hey, that's, I do that a lot now. Like, I don't need to be here.
Yeah, and that's like, I've never been to San Antonio, but like, flights are dirt cheap. So I was like, I could, but.
Ain't shit to do. I don't even want to watch the Spurs play in San Antonio.
Nah, I don't feel like asking someone for tickets. It's super late. Yeah. Like, asking for tickets, you kind of got to do like a little early. I want to pressure nobody late. So I'm just like, nah, I'm good. Watch it from the crib, but it should be fun. We have an entire show devoted towards the Royal Rumble, because it's not August, coming up later on in the week. That should be fun. In the meantime, thank you guys for listening. Follow us on social media at Corner Podcast _ Twitter, Corner Club for Life on Instagram, YouTube, The Corner Podcast. For everyone here at Blue Wire Studios, for myself, the old man Andreas Hale. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.